my privilege to read to you from Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, a parable of Jesus. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, 'Give me the share of property that's coming to me.' And he divided this property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise, I will go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to the father, 'I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older brother was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he's received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I've served you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him?' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead, and he is alive. He was lost, and he is found.'"
Jesus, we just need you right now, Lord, and thank you that you are our good Father, that you're so near to us, Lord, that you love us and you provide and take care of us. And God, we just pray that as we study your word, as we preach the gospel, Lord, that you would just be present with us today, that each one of us would hear your voice, that each one of us would be challenged and transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, give me the words to say, Lord, let you be speaking through me. Let the words of God come alive. Lord, let everything that your word says come true today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So years ago, there's a boy that his father enrolled him in a 5K race. And he was about 7 or 8, and he'd never been in a race before. But his father knew he could do it. So he enrolled him in the race, and the boy was at the front of the line, and he was ready to go, and the gun went off and he took off like a rocket, and he was in the very front of the line for about 100 yards. And he'd never been in a race before. He didn't know how to pace himself. There was nobody running with him. And so eventually he realized you can't sprint 5K without any practice. And eventually he was near the end of the line. And they were going around this big park, around the outside of this park. And he had been to this park a lot. And right towards the end, the path goes through the trees. And there's some raspberry bushes. So he stops and he starts eating the raspberries. And soon enough, here comes Dad. Oh, son, you got to finish the race. So he's like, okay. And he finishes the last little leg of the race. And anyway, just a fun experience that I had when I was a 7 or 8 year old. And my dad came and got me and made sure I finished the race. So I have a lot of really fun memories of my dad. And I want to talk today about how God, our Father, is a good Father. And today's Father's Day, you know, I was just thinking about what to share. And there's so many things about God as our Father. And I'd love to just dig into that today. You know, and as we're studying the Word of God, there's so much that we can glean for our own lives, you know, and just so many good things. So in Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. And the thing that strikes me the most is how God the Father loves you unconditionally. He wants you. He desires you. He craves a relationship with you. And he's always ready to receive you. That just is so powerful when we grasp that. Sometimes we have all these ideas about God, but we don't know what the Word of God says. But 2 Peter 3:9 says, he desires that no one should perish, but for all to come to repentance. God has our best in mind. He loves us unconditionally because he knows what we can be. He knows the difference we can make here on this earth. He knows our future. He knows what's going to happen after we die. God has all these great plans for us. But so often we forget that God is a good Father. God is a good Father. And that is exciting. And each of us, we can think about all the things that our fathers on earth did for us. Most of us had a very good father, okay? Or at least a decent father. And you can just think back even now about some of the fun things you've done with your father. About the times that he invested in you or that he said he believed in you. He was there for your sports games. He was there when you did your recitals or your drama class. Performances. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Be imitators of God, dear children. And the rest of chapter 5, it goes into all the ways that we can imitate God and the way to live a holy and a righteous life. But think about the example Christ set for us. And we need to follow the example of Christ. How many of you guys have watched The Chosen? If you haven't, I strongly recommend it. It's a really beautiful, amazing picture of how they portray Jesus as a relational person who he just loves people. Like he takes people where they're at. He never lets them off the hook, but he loves them. And he is very real to them. Anyway, one of the scenes in there talks about how Peter and Andrew, their father was a fisherman, and Peter's like, you remember when our dad taught us how to fish? And Andrew's looking at him like, Dad didn't teach us how to fish. And Peter's like, no, he did. We watched, and soon it was our turn, and we made our own mistakes, but we watched him. And then they played a lot into that, and if you watch the videos, you'll really enjoy that. But we want to watch Jesus, and we have the Word of God, and every time I read the Scriptures, the four Gospels, and what the apostles said about him, it's just like, wow, it just blows your mind how good God is. Our Father has set us an example. He loves us. This verse here about being imitators of God, it hits so much harder now that I have my own little kids, because they love to imitate me. And we were doing silly faces for the camp photo, because we've been working at Shiloh Bible Camp. And very good camp. Get your grandkids, get your kids, get your neighbor's kids. It's a really, really neat place. I'm doing the camp photo, and we're supposed to do a silly face. And my favorite silly face to do is... Well, Allison was doing... It's like, wow, she could actually do it. But it's so funny, like, just every time my children imitate me, it just brings a smile to my face. The other day, we were at a friend's house, and we'd spent the night there, I'm waking up, I'm still half asleep, and my son, Johnny, is putting my shoes on. He's like, walk around in my shoes. It was so cute. I didn't want to mess with it. Until about 15 minutes later, and I smelled what he was tracking into my boots. And there was like brown stuff everywhere in and outside of my boots. Like, oh. But it was still really cute, you know, if I'd have just stopped him. Every time I think about this, be imitators of God like dear children. Jesus sees you. He watches you. He's delighted in you. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But as imitators of God, we want to be... Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. We wanted to please our own fathers. Okay, sometimes we did it because we respected them and we loved them. Sometimes we did it because we were trying to get the wrong approval. We were doing it because our fathers weren't giving us approval and we were trying to please him just to make him like us. Okay? Thankfully, we have a good father that delights in us. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, we make it our goal to please him. We make it our goal to please him. And when we do that, we're doing a very good thing. Live a life full of love and be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live wisely. That's in verse 15. Live a life full of love. Follow the example of Christ. Let's skip over to chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. You guys should all be familiar with this passage. But we have a good father. But when you have a father, part of that is it's our responsibility to obey them. So let's see what it says. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We're doing it because we love God first, our Heavenly Father, and we treat our earthly fathers with the same respect or a similar respect that we give God. This is the first commandment with a promise. Did you know God says you will live a long life and you will have prosperity? If you follow the teachings of the Word of God. Now, we're not talking God's going to promise you being a millionaire. That's not what I'm talking about. But you'll live a full and happy life if you're doing the things that are right. Have you ever said, I wish I'd listened to my parents? I wish I would have taken their advice. I wish I would have not made these silly mistakes that my parents told me not to. Okay? Thankfully, my kids aren't too old yet. But there's times when we tell little Allison, don't do that, and she does it anyway, and then things get messy and things get hurt. But when we learn how to follow God faithfully, when we learn to obey our earthly parents, not necessarily because they earn it, but because it's due to them. And sometimes we refuse to obey our earthly parents, okay, especially you teenagers out there and little kids that are still in the room. We don't obey our earthly parents because we think we know better than them. Or we think that they're just being selfish. Well, usually they have your best interest in mind, okay? Usually they have your best interest in mind. But what if you've had a bad experience with your parents, okay? Now I'm talking to there's a lot of people in this room. They've got little kids, they've got mature people and very mature people, very beautiful people all around. Have you ever had a time when your parents exasperated you or provoked you to anger or abused you or neglected you? How did that make you feel? Maybe some of you may have ran away from home. Maybe some of you guys quickly got out of the house as quickly as you could and moved on in life because your parents weren't up to par. So often, it can be a hindrance to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, the things that our earthly father have done. Sometimes we see God the Father as punitive, as distant, as dictatorial, or as unjust. And sometimes we project on Him those negative attitudes of our earthly fathers. And I see that all the time. I hear people talk about, well, God doesn't care about me. Or God doesn't see me. Or if He's there somewhere, you know, what difference does it make? I've heard people say these things because they don't see God as their Heavenly Father. They see Him as some distant, horrific father that they grew up with. Or even if they had a good father, they rejected Him because they cared more about the things of this world because they were trying to please others instead of pleasing God. So let me repeat, our God is a good Father. Our God is a good Father. And so often we forget that. When we look at our lives right now and the problems we're going to, we're thinking, where is God in all this? You know, when we experience hardship, where is God in all of this? Matthew 6:31-33. Sometimes it's literally a matter of perspective. Someone said that just the other day, and it just, about this passage, and it really made me think. It's like, wow, that's really good. So Matthew 6:31-33. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He will give you everything you need. We're spoiled here in America. How many of you guys have been overseas and you've seen people living off of 20 cents a day? You know? We're blessed here in America. We're very blessed, and we take it for granted. We can live a lot simpler lives if we chose to, if we decided to. The reality is you're here. God has kept you here. God has kept you alive. God has taken care of you. If you seek Him first, He's going to provide for all your needs. If there's something in your life you need right now, if there's situations that you're having a hard time with, go to God the Father. He hears you. Psalm 33, verses 15. 13 through 15. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne, he observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything you do. So, our God is a good Father. First, he takes care of you. He provides for you. Second, he understands you. Why? Because he made you. He knows who you are. He understands everything about you. And Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. I love this chapter. We're going to be hanging out here for a minute. Sorry, I jammed my thumb playing soccer yesterday, and I can't do my Bible fast anymore. I can barely carry stuff. Verses 13 through 16. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Do you know God understands you? He knows you so intimately. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows how wonderfully made you are, how beautiful you are. God is a good father. He knows you more than you know yourself. Verse 17, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. He thinks deeply about you. He literally focuses his attention on you. He knows who you are. He's looking for ways to make you better. He's looking for opportunities to help you grow. He thinks deeply about you. His thoughts are precious towards you. Ephesians 2:10 literally says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Other passage, another way of saying it is, we are his masterpiece. That's pretty cool. We are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. Sometimes we look at ourselves, we look at our lives, and we're like, I don't look like God's handiwork. I don't think like, I'm God's masterpiece. But guess what? You are. And if you can grasp that, if you can stop focusing on your problems and focusing on the God who can help you with your problems. Okay? Or using your problems to the overcoming process to make a difference in other people's lives and not be so focused on yourself, but allowing your problems to be given to God, and he can use you to do the good works that you need to do. Everyone here is in a different place in their life. Everyone here has a different story. Everyone has a different opportunity to come to Christ and a different situation where God uses you. God sees you where you're at. He knows you intimately, and he loves you. Let's go back to verses 1 through 6. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel or when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. You know, it's been an interesting journey. 4 years ago, I never wanted to go back to truck driving. And that's the path that God had set for us. So we'll see what happens next. One of the things, I wrote a little article for myself and shared it with a few people about life is a big adventure. And the title of the article was, Have You Lost Your Sense of Adventure? Have you lost your sense of adventure? You know, Lord of the Rings, I love that movie. You know, they're all getting ready on this adventure, and he's like, so where are we going? And they get all the way to Rivendale, and they're like, all right, we made it. And then they realize, that's not even close. But we can celebrate the victories, the things we've overcome, and yet look forward to the adventure that's set before us. God has put you on a path. God has something in mind for you. He thinks deeply about you. He knows what you're going to do. And it's his thoughts towards you are wonderful. It also says he examines your heart. He examines your heart. Sometimes we try to push away those things. You know, because we want to deal with the inner pain, the inner hurt. Or sometimes we do things out of selfish motives because we're tired and we're frustrated and other people are being mean to us. Other things haven't gone as planned, and we use that as an excuse to not say the right thing or do the right thing or think the right thing. But God examines our hearts. Hebrews 4, chapter 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between the joints and marrow. And it exposes our inmost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. Do you know God knows what you're thinking? He knows why you're doing what you're doing. Even when other people don't. And guess what? When you're doing it with the right motives, God sees you and he is just beaming with joy. It's like, well done. Even when other people don't receive it, sometimes they even accuse you of being selfish when you're just doing a kind thing. Or when they say, hey, I really appreciate what you did for me. Thank you. Okay. Everything will be brought to the light. Everything that is hidden will be exposed at some point. And often, you may think that you're getting away with stuff, but other people, even here on earth, can see right through you. Don't be fake. If God can see through you, okay, more often than not, other people will see through you too. So let your heart be pure. Let your motives be right before the Lord. God sees you. He knows what you need before you ask. Matthew 6, verse 8. And he's the one that we're accountable to. We make it our goal to please him. We're going to be doing things for God because he's the one that's going to have the opportunity to put us into hell or bring us into heaven. Who are we seeking to please? Are your motives pure? If there's something in your life today, again, think about these things. Is there something in your life that you're not doing with the right motives? Or are you doing it just because you have to? Or are you doing it to the best of your ability? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He is highly attentive to your needs. One of the most wonderful things about being a father is watching my wife with my kids. And she's like, oh, that's Johnny's hungry cry, or that's Johnny's tired cry. And I picked up on the hungry really easy because so I can feed him. He likes it when I feed him. But it's really, really fun, like, when we have children, especially little children, and we're attentive to them, like, we may understand. Like, someone comes in and, like, he's crying. Like, no, he's just hungry. Just give him this. And then he's happy and he makes, you know, everyone else was happy. God is attentive to your needs. But as a little child, sometimes all we know how to do is cry. All we know how to do is think about our belly rumbling or think about, you know, something on the other side that's getting heavy. Or thinking about, we know we're supposed to go to sleep, but we don't understand it yet. Okay? But God is attentive to your needs. God sees you. God loves you. I wanted to share a fun little story for you guys. I was looking up different stories about being a good dad. This one's fun. So this guy, he says, my dad owned a fruit market on a busy street. The sidewalk in front of his store collected dust and trash, which needed to be swept daily. At age 6, I used to hide behind bags of potatoes when my dad asked me to sweep. But while sweeping one day, I began to find dollar bills under the dust and trash. I had no idea where the money came from. My dad had been putting money on the sidewalk. And soon, I was happy to sweep even when no money was found. And the title of that was How I Learned the Value of Work. And sometimes we complain about what God is doing in our lives, but we don't realize that God is actually forming us into what He wants us to be. God knows what our physical needs are. He knows what our spiritual needs are. He knows what our emotional needs are. And if we allow God to be part of that process when we're going through a rough time, or when we're growing and experiencing those growing pains, if we connect with God in every way, okay, even when things aren't going right, if we just trust in God that He's doing what's best for us, even when we don't see it, eventually we'll get to the point where we can become more like Him. And we're doing the same things that He did. And we're being the hands and feet of Jesus. God wants to give you good things. Matthew 7, 9 through 11. If you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Luke quotes the same passage and he says, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? God wants to give you good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. That's in James 1:17. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It talks about He will bless you so that you can bless others. So as God is blessing you and taking care of your needs, make sure that you're not so selfish that you're not allowing God to use you to help other people and their needs as well. Going back to Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's what we were created for. Not just to gain the most money, have the biggest house, have the, you know, all the toys and everything, the adult toys, but to serve God faithfully and to make a difference, to live like Christ, to do good works. This next point, I've said it already, but I want you to really think deeply about this. God delights in you. He delights in you. When He sees you, He smiles. He gets this huge cheesy grin on His face. Sometimes when I'm watching my little kids, I can't, like, it reminds me of, I just can't stop smiling. You know? And that's happened multiple times in my life where I just can't stop smiling because it's just so cute or so adorable. And it reminds me, like, the day that I married Sarah, and she's walking down the aisle, and I'm smiling so hard that my mouth was hurting. And I still do that sometimes with my wife and my children. And sometimes some of you guys, when you guys make me smile. Not as much as Sarah, that one day. Oh, duh. I couldn't stop smiling. But God delights in you. Proverbs 3:12. The Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. The Lord delights in you. Even when He's punishing you, He knows He's punishing you because you're going to get it. Okay? It's going to help you to grow, and He still delights in you. Psalm 119. I'm going to skip around in several verses here. Psalm 119, 174. And I just want you to see, like, I literally have started to highlight every time I see the word delight in the Bible. And it's one of those buzzwords that just means so much to me because I think about God our Father delighting in me. It says, O Lord, I've longed for your rescue. Your instructions are my delight. Jeremiah 31:20. Is not Israel still my son, my darling child, says the Lord? I often have to punish him, but I still love him. That's why I long for him and surely will have mercy on him. Just like he delighted in Israel, he delights in you. 2 Samuel 22:20. Even when you're doing the wrong things, he still delights in you. He sees you. He loves you. This is the one I really wanted to hit. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me. When you're in a place where you're being attacked, when you are struggling, he will lead you to a place of safety. And the reason for that is because he delights in you. If you're going through a mental attack, he wants to lead you to a place of safety. If you're going through a spiritual attack, he wants to lead you to a place of safety because he delights in you. He knows that you can overcome this. He knows that you can do the right thing, that you can do what he asks. He delights in you. He actually likes you. Isaiah 42. And verse 1. Look at my servant, whom I strengthened. He is my chosen one, who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. I want you to think about this. That verse is quoted when Jesus was baptized. Okay? This is a direct quote. Okay? It talks about his servant, his son. God delighted in Jesus. He was super excited. God the Father delighted in Jesus and was able to see all the miracles that he did, and they were one. And Jesus is our example. He's our older brother. He's the firstborn. But in the same way, in a similar way, God delights in you. It makes him smile. He actually likes you. He takes great pleasure when you follow his example. He enjoyed making you. He enjoys watching you. He enjoys it when you grow, when you get your epiphanies in life. God delights in you. Just say that. God delights in me. Everybody just say that out loud. God delights in me. Believe that, because he really does. No matter what you're going through, God delights in you. We are part of God's family now. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You are part of God's family. And this is very important for what I'm going to share here shortly. John 1:12. Says this, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. We are part of his family. When the king is on the throne, okay, no one can come to him unless they're called before him, right? Except for his children. They can run up to him like, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He's like, hey, I'm doing justice here. Hold on a second. We can come directly to the Father. We don't have to go through the hoops. We don't have to knock on the door. Okay? We can talk directly to our Heavenly Father. Ephesians 4:16, it says, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can come to Him directly, boldly. Why? Because we are called by His name. We have taken on His name. Jeremiah 15:16 says, when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. Isn't that a fun thought? Isn't that a powerful thought? We are called by the name of God. When people see us, do they see us or do they see Jesus in us? When people look at you, do they acknowledge, hey, there's something different about you? You must be a Christian. Have you guys ever had random people tell you that? I thought you were a Christian. I figured it out. You know, and usually there are other Christians because they can see Jesus because they've experienced Him as well. But we bear His name. We are heirs together with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. We're not slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. A lot of people like to use the term Daddy. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are God's children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share in His suffering. Think about this. We are heirs together with Christ. We have access to all of God's power. We have access to all of God's blessings. Okay? The power of the Spirit lives within us, inside of us. We have access to the treasuries of God. We have access to the spiritual treasures of God. God wants to use you to help rule this world and to be part of His kingdom. Okay? Now, again, don't take rule this world in the wrong way, as in a physical sense. Okay? But in a spiritual sense, we are helping to bring God's kingdom here on earth. And we are encouraging others. And in the end, we will be ruling together with Christ. We are heirs together with Christ. Ephesians 5:20 says, give thanks to God the Father for everything. Because the reality is, everything we have is because of Him. The food that we eat, the drinks that we drink, the clothes that we wear, it wasn't that we just earned them. In reality, it came from Him. God gave us that. Okay? Isaiah 26:12 says, everything that we have accomplished is really from Him. So let that humility kind of sink in. You know, the humility that we don't deserve anything. Nothing that we have is ours. It all is the Father's. Okay? But He gives us everything. And our attitude should be of gratefulness. We are part of God's family, and everything that we have is from Him. And then this is the exciting part. John chapter 14. And many of you guys can probably quote this as well. John 14, 1 through 3. When you're an heir, what do you get? You get something in the end, right? If you live long enough. John 14, 1 through 3. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Sometimes that's hard when we don't see the end result. We want it now. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. We have a home in heaven. So all these things that we're dealing with now, they're just passing away. because we have an eternal destiny. We are heirs of the kingdom of God. We have a home in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is given to us to teach us and to remind us of our Father's words here on earth so that we can follow His instructions and get to heaven. And ultimately, those instructions lead us to the cross. So as we wrap up, I have a series of questions I want you to think deeply about. Do we often forget how good our Heavenly Father is? Just think about that. Just give you a few moments to let that sink in. Do we often forget how good our Heavenly Father is? Do we often suffer consequences by not following His instructions? Do we often suffer consequences by not following His instructions? On the flip side, do we often receive blessing by following His instructions? Think about the time when you put your faith in God and He came through for you, or He blessed you. Do we remember that He truly delights in us and loves us? Do we remember that He truly delights in us and loves us? Can you picture His face smiling at you? Can you picture His just unrelenting joy beaming down on you? His delight. Do we acknowledge that God knows us perfectly and will provide for us our physical, our spiritual, our emotional needs? Do we acknowledge that God knows us perfectly and will provide for us? Do you know that you can come directly and boldly to Him? Do you know that you can come directly and boldly to Him? There's sometimes I'm in the middle of like, oh, this isn't going right. Nope, this isn't going right. Now this isn't going. And it just all kind of doesn't go right at the same time. Okay? And when I get to those moments, if I can catch myself and take a moment and say, God, this is not the way I planned it. All these things didn't go right today, but I'm going to trust in You. Okay? And guess what? Usually He does something amazing at that point. Whether calming your own heart so that you can live that love of Jesus. And sometimes He's literally done little miracles for us. Who are you seeking to please? Yourself? Others? Maybe even people that are hurting you or are against you? Are you trying to please them so they'll stop being mean or hurting you? Who are you trying to please? Yourself, others, or God? Have you made it your goal to please Him? Who are you seeking to please? Yourself? Are you being selfish? Others? Are you trying to please your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your boss? Or are you trying to please God? And if you please God, usually those other things will follow at some point. Last question. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Go back to Psalm 139. Verses 23 through 24. I want you to pray this prayer with me. You don't have to necessarily do it out loud. But this is literally a prayer. And most of the Psalms are. They're talking directly to God. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends You. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. I want to read that one more time, and I want each of you guys to pray that in your heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Amen. Ask God to examine you and to guide you. Your eternal destiny is at stake. I don't know everyone here, but part of this prayer is a prayer of repentance. You know, if there's anything in me that needs to be changed, and the ultimate thing is, have I given my life to Jesus? And so I want to challenge you today, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you never said, I believe in you, Jesus, I accept you, I trust in God the Father, I want to believe, and I want to follow you wholeheartedly. If you've never done that, don't go out of this room until you've done that. I challenge you. I encourage you. I plead with you. Pray to God and ask Him to change you. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. Pray this prayer of repentance, that God would know your heart, and if there's anything that offends you, that you would rip it out of my life. Let's just do this right now before I close. Jesus. If anyone's here that needs to accept Christ, can we just all pray this prayer together? Jesus, we need you. We recognize we're not good enough, that we've all sinned, and I need you, Lord. Please change my heart. I accept you. I surrender to you. I believe in you, and I want to live for you. Thank you for dying on the cross and taking the punishment for my sins. Help me to follow you. Help me to love you and to love everyone around me. In Jesus' name, amen. Seriously, if you pray that prayer for the first time, or maybe you've said the prayer but you kind of did it because you're being pushed into it, come and talk to Pastor or one of the elders. But don't let your heart not be transformed by the power of Jesus. Let the words that we've said sink in. Recognize that God delights in you. I have one final verse I'd like to share. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are those children who follow him. The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are there children who follow them. So wherever you're at in your life, in your walk with Christ, okay, leave a legacy. Walk with integrity. Okay? Leave a legacy for your own children, not just an inheritance, a monetary value. Those are good things. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying leave a spiritual inheritance. Wherever you're at in your walk with Christ, leave a spiritual inheritance. Some of you don't have kids yet. I hope not. You guys are a little too young, aren't you? Okay. But you can still leave a spiritual legacy for your friends. You know, and Paul himself said that he treats everyone that he's spoken to that have come to know Christ because of him as his children. You know, leave a legacy of walking in integrity so that the people after you are going to be blessed. Your children in the faith, your own spiritual, your own physical children, that they would follow the words of Jesus wholeheartedly. Okay? Leave a legacy for your children, not just an inheritance. God delights in you. God delights in you. So, we're going to end with the Lord's Prayer. And this is a prayer to our Father in heaven. And as we quote it, because most of you guys would know it, make sure that you're sincerely praying it to God. So maybe we can slow it down just a little bit so we can think deeply about what we're praying. Okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Have joy today in the fact that God delights in you as you follow his example.